Pardon me?
What is the date today?
The 19th, March 19th.
Just a few days past St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is your full name?
Denise Ann Thompson.
And your maiden name is?
George.
Denise Ann George Thompson.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Who is your people?
My mother was a Knott. She has lots of relatives around. My father doesn't have many relatives around here. His mother's passed away. And
was he born here?
Uh-huh, in Dry Fork.
And your mother, too?
She was born, yeah, Sugarlands. Yeah, they're both from Tucker County.
Oh, I know some of those Knotts. I bet I know some of them. I've heard them tell about the Knottses up in Sugarlands.
Uh-huh, yeah.
The Phillipses.
Well, she's not related to Phillips. Knottses and Malmixes. You know, her. Her mother was a Knott's. Mom was a Davis. I get all confused.
Thank you. Oh, that's perfect.
But she married a Davis. And her family, all the Knottses and Malmixes, most of them are related.
Did you grow up in a big family of kids?
Just three sisters.
Just three?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Job. Yeah, that's true.
Not compared to some, I guess. But.
Not compared to my mother's family. They had seven brothers and sisters.
I interviewed the Brocks, the people on Pennsylvania Avenue, and she's got 14 kids.
Yeah, that's a big family.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah, three doesn't seem so big compared to 14.
So you grew up
in Parsons,
right in Parsons?
Yeah,
went to Parsons schools.
Yeah.
Where'd you meet him?
Well, we knew each other in school, and then after he graduated, my aunt kind of fixed us up.
That's what he said. I just wanted to see if it was.
Yeah, I guess he's not too bad.
Boys.
Yeah.
One's asleep and one's awake.
Yeah. One never's asleep.
That's me.
That's right.
You don't look bad, huh? So how had you been getting along before the flood came?
Oh, pretty good.
You were living
in the sheriff's residence, yeah.
Sheriff's residence right by the jail?
Yeah. Cooking for the prisoners. Wasn't too bad.
I was scared of Frank Arson when Dad brought me in.
You were cooking for the prisoners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Three meals a day?
Yeah. Breakfast, lunch, and supper.
How long did you do that?
Since January. We moved in January. Uh-huh. I had done it. It wasn't too bad, though. Not unless it was full. It was only full once or twice, and that was bad. Got up one morning, had to fix breakfast for eight. But
amazing.
When it was two or three, it wasn't bad.
Did you ever get any complaints about your cooking?
No, they all liked it. I guess they were afraid to complain, afraid what would get worse.
Well, what do you remember about November 4th?
Oh, Jiminy.
It had been raining a lot, huh?
Yeah, it had. It had been raining I know the exterminator came that day, and he said if it rained very much more, it would float his house away. I don't know if it did. I don't know where he lived, but that's what he said.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't remember too awful much. Just.
Hank had been up to his, see about his mother, I guess.
Yeah. And came back, and the fire whistle blew, and he left. And he called and said he was stuck up there, and I don't know why I didn't realize and leave at that time, but I guess I just thought they're in the middle of town. It would never get, you know, it would never get there. But it did.
What did he say when he called?
He said that he was stranded in that house, that he, you know, couldn't get out, that the water had come up and they couldn't get those old people out. I guess I didn't realize that it was that high. I just assumed that they were older people and they couldn't get them out, you know. I guess I thought that. I don't know why I didn't react to get myself out of there with my kids, but I didn't. But I went up and told the dispatchers, and they told me that they knew and was trying to get help up there, but they were so busy that I didn't stay and talk. You know, I just went up and told them I didn't. bother them any longer because they were really busy. But they didn't even tell me that it was flooding that bad. So I went back downstairs to keep watching the water raise in the basement steps.
And did he call again?
Pardon me?
Did Hank call again?
No, he only called me once. Uh-huh. Yeah, I got lots of other phone calls from his mom and them wanting to know how the water was and stuff. Matter of fact, the phone had rang right before they came to get me. And it was up about the parking meters, and I knew I couldn't get out then. By myself, anyway. But the firemen had been going up and down the street out in front and just waved at me. I didn't think anything was wrong. Of course, they didn't either, I don't guess. I didn't, you know, they didn't realize it was going to be that bad right there in town. But boy, just a little bit, they were back to get me.
Who came in to get you then?
Johnny Lambert and, what's his name, Bo?
Bo Haddix,
yeah. He's a little meanie, I guess. Yeah, he took Brian out.
And then who took Justin?
Well, honey, I'm not sure who came and got Justin. They called him Bill, but I don't know. I don't know who he was.
I was in the courtroom.
It was up pretty deep on that.
Yeah, it was up to my chest.
You walked out?
Yeah.
Yourself?
Yeah. The Johnny Lambert carried the baby as high as he could, up like this. And I held on as much as I could. I thought I was going to float away that one time. I told him, I said, if I let go of you, you just go on with my baby. Get him out of here. That Kurt was awful strong and so cold. Oh, it was cold. Had on sweatpants and canvas shoes. About lost my shoes. The water, every time you pick your foot up, it'd be so strong. Brian rode on Bo's shoulders. He didn't get wet. Justin, his blanket got a little bit wet on the bottom, yeah. But it didn't get through to him.
My shoe got wet. But it didn't hurt because it was so hard.
So, how far did you have to walk in the water?
From the bottom of the steps at the residence, doesn't seem very far, but it seemed like 2 or 3 miles out to the edge of the sidewalk and up, I don't know, 20 feet, Hank? 30 feet? I don't know.
Around the First National Bank.
Well, it wasn't deep. After you got there, you know where the alley runs in between there? There is where it got lower. It seemed like it was chest height from the edge of the foot of the steps there at the residence, clear out. And then up, probably about that great big pole. It wasn't very far if you go down there and look at it now, but that night in that deep water, it seemed like it was never going to get out of there.
She had went back upstairs from what they told me before she left to see if they got me out.
Yeah, I did that before they came. I went back upstairs and I waited, I think it was 2 hours. I think it was at 9 o'clock. And I went up and I asked them if they had heard from him. And they said, no, we don't have any contact with him up there.
That's all they said?
Yes.
And what did you think?
I thought, oh, no, Hank's down, Morgantown in Cheat Lake. Oh, yeah. That's of course, I guess they didn't know anything else. But.
But you realized that things couldn't be too good.
Yeah, that's when they, you know, because I thought, my heavens, with their radios and stuff, why don't they know, you know? But and then that night at the gym, when no one came around, no Gary, no Joe, no Keith, none of the officers were there, none of them came around. And I kept thinking, oh my heavens, what's happened out there, you know? Where's no one could be alive if none of them had been around, because I was there and the sheriff's wife was there and none of them had been around. And
you were where then?
Out at the gym is where they took me.
At the school?
Uh-huh.
That was the house.
Shelter set up.
Yeah.
Can you describe what that was like?
Oh, that was awful. It wasn't too bad when we went. The lady gave me some dry clothes, and I didn't sleep any. The baby didn't wake up at all. I took him in and laid him down after carrying out in that cold water, and we took him in there and laid him down, and he didn't wake up at all. He had been asleep in his bed, and I picked him up and wrapped him up, but they carried him out, and I carried him in that truck or whatever it was, sitting on the edge of a little old thing, and he didn't wake up at all. I took him in there and laid him down, and he didn't wake up, and Brian finally went to sleep. And the next morning, no one knew anything, and finally at daylight, some kids, well, they, I don't know, those Smith kids, 15 or 16, I mean, they're not kids, but, you know, walked to town, and they came back and said Tannery Row was gone, and this was gone, and that was gone, and, and I was sitting there thinking, oh, no, and they wouldn't let you leave. They kept saying, no, you can't leave, you can't leave, and these people were sitting out there and talking about this being gone, that being gone. I'm sitting there thinking, where's Hank? What are these people talking about their car being gone for? Well, I don't even know where my husband is. So finally, I left. I decided I'd walk up to the Corporal Zeiler's house. It's just up Smoky Hollow. You know, you can come out the school there and just go up. You don't have to come to town. You can just go up the other street there. And so I thought, well, they'll let me go up there. They said they wouldn't let you in town. I thought, well, they'll let me go there. You know, I won't even just go across the street here. And I got stopped by some lady that used to babysit. She saw me walking, and it had started to rain again. And she made me come in her house. And there was where I was when Hank finally found me. Never so happy to see anybody.
Mercy.
But I wouldn't want to do that again for anything. I told him if the water's come up anymore, he can go help people, but he has to stay on this side of the bridge.
That's what she told us the other night. Last week when the water came up, we thought it was going to flood again. I told her we was going to start back to Whitney Henderson Hamilton. I think the last word she told me was, stay away from her.
He has to stay on this side of the bridge. Let the people that live in Henderson Hamilton do Henderson Hamilton. I tell you that not knowing is what was, you know, when it got to be about 11 o'clock and still no one had came around, I kept thinking, oh no, you know, people say that's gone. What was it like? And now this was 10 o'clock when they took me out, and I thought, oh my heavens, if Hank was stranded at 7, what? You know, he has to be gone, you know. I didn't realize till then that it was that bad. I don't know why. I guess a person just doesn't think that it could be that bad. But it was, and boy, I tell you.
So you felt kind of trapped in the school? Yeah,
I did. I don't know why, because they were nice. You know, they had cereal that they offered us for breakfast and things, but I don't know. I'm not much of a piece of people person when I get upset, and I didn't know any of the people really. You know, I mean, I knew who some of them were by name, but it's to know them, and like as I said, you know, I couldn't get over. You know, none of them were around. None of the other officers were around to ask. You know, where was Hank? And I had seen who did I see? Somebody in the ambulances. And I had asked them, and they didn't know. No one knew anything. I know who I'd asked. Some of the firemen that night when they took me out, the fellows that took me out, I had asked them if they had heard anything. No, they didn't know anything either.
And there was no telephones?
Well, people could call me. Like I said, Hank's family had called me, and the troopers, the corporal's wife had called me right before they came. But I guess up in Hendricks there wasn't.
No, because when I talked to her the last time on the phone, the water was hitting me right about the knees in the downstairs of the house. And then the phones just went dead. And that's when we went upstairs and out.
But I had taken candles upstairs, you know, just before they came, because I knew when I realized out the window that it was hitting the parking meters, I thought, well, there's no way I can get out of here, you know, by myself and carry, you know, take two kids. It'd been over Brian's head. He couldn't have walked. I'd had to carry both of them. And so I had taken candles upstairs.
Did you seem like an awful cheerful person.
Oh.
Did you keep that going on?
No. I came to grips with it pretty good, I guess. But it's either smile or cry, so. Yeah.
But you really thought the worst before.
Yes, yeah, I did. When it was about 10 or 11, I just thought he was doomed. I mean, when I got up to that lady's house, it was probably 11 o'clock.
In the morning.
And I couldn't even, they asked me where he was, and I couldn't even tell. I'd just look at him and bawl.
So what time was it when you finally got back?
It was right around...
About 1:30.
Yeah.
1:30 or 2:30,
somewhere in that area.
It's probably for you.
God, you just must have been terrible.
Yeah, I was. I tell you, I never knew what it was like to think someone was gone. You know, I mean, my father died, and I knew what it was like to have someone die, but I just had never experienced anything like that before, to just not know, you know that things were that bad, and know that he'd been trapped since 7 o'clock, way before Parsons ever got bad, and just not know. No one could tell you. This day and age, if all the computers and telephones and all the equipment, and no one could get from Parsons to Hendricks to find out if he was all right.
Have you had a lot of thoughts about it since then?
Oh, sometimes. I try not to think about it too much.
Dream about it at all?
No, I don't dream. I never dream, though. I never dream, but I've never had any dreams about it. I think about it once in a while and get upset, but I just try to thank God that he's all right, and the past is the past, and you have to go on.
You know, for like a month or so after the flood, especially when I was living with my mom, and my mom and I don't get along at all, and, you know, I've caught myself snapping off at her or snapping off the kids, and I know that that had something to do with it. I feel it then. Because I was trying to find a place to live, and I tried to do my job, and just one thing right after the other one, and I'd find myself snapping off my wife and my kids, and I had no reason to do it, and I know it was to do with the fun, because
yeah.
You know, I just had all that pressure on me, and I just let it out, and I've done it to the wrong people.
Yeah. But you never felt that way.
No, I mean, you know, I would lose my temper and think, you know, it would bother me, you know, like he said, you know, you'd be snappy or, you know, but I didn't get depressed or anything like that.
You were just so glad.
Yeah, there's too many things in life to let something like that put you down. You know, there's, I've got two little kids, you know, that they both could have been easily swept away that night, and I'm just thankful that they weren't. We're all right.
Yeah, it was a fantastic experience. What's happened around the community since the flood? Do you think the flood brought people closer together?
I think in some ways it did. They all sort of pulled together and helped, you know, whoever needed help and things. And it's starting to shape up now. People are, you know, getting things back kind of the way they were. I think once it gets spring and a few things get green and things, you know, it'll help. Some of that mud gets dried up. And today you could look out and that wind would blow and you could just see a sheet of mud blow. You know what I mean? Just walls of dirt blowing around.
That's great.